much. I love to hear Phil, Craig play those horns. I wish I could do that. Most of you know that I can own. By the way, I found another instrument that I could play. This week, we were cleaning out a... C has a dollhouse. She has a dollhouse that her daddy built for when she was a little girl. And we were out there looking around for treasures this week, just seeing what she had and all, Chipper. And we found something I could play, a musical instrument I could play. Guess what it was? What? No, I got a kazoo. Somebody gave me a kazoo. No, it was a tambourine. I can play that, counselor. A tambourine. I could keep beat with that. That's good. We had a good first service. Matter of fact, I don't know, Ben. First service, we may have outnumbered them. This crowd, right? This morning, we had a good bunch. But I read this. I cut this out of a little magazine. Y'all hadn't sent me many good jokes lately, so... If it's my joke's not good, it's your fault, Ted. It's y'all's fault. You're not sending me any. But I found this and said, a patient complained to his doctor, his psychiatrist, that he was always forgetting things. What shall I do? What do you think the doctor said? He said, pay me in advance. It's good, wasn't it? That's what doctors want, don't they? They want to pay... This morning, if you have your Bible, turn with me to Genesis 45. I want to read some scripture. Kind of a long reading, but stay with me. Genesis chapter 45 and verse 11. Hear the word of the Lord. The Bible says in verse 11, Genesis 45, now there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of your brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that you have seen. And you shall haste and bring my father down. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. And moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, say unto thy brethren, do this, ye, lay your beasts and go and get unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye. Take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandments of Pharaoh and gave them provisions for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment. But to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt and 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. This key verse, last verse, verse 24. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way. That's the key verse. See that ye fall not out by the way. You all know this story. You familiar with it, I think? I told them in the first service this morning, I have some pictures. I love pictures. I have hundreds and thousands of pictures. If you went back to my study, my office here in the church, you'd see a picture of me and 18 young graduates out here one Sunday when they graduated, had our senior day last year. They went caps and gowns, and I was standing in the middle of them my striped suit on, my seersucker suit, and I was in the middle of them. I love that picture. I love the picture of me and my family on a cruise. I took them, Ray, on a cruise about 2 years ago. My sisters and my brother-in-law, my grandkid, 22 people. And I paid for the whole bill. I picked up a tab. And I took them all. Any of y'all like to go with me this year? But I love that picture. I have that picture, the cruise. I have some other pictures special to me. I have a picture, some major, of me and three of my buddies. When I was a post chaplain at Fort Rucker, we were playing out there across from where you live. We called it the 8-28 team because that was our tea time every Saturday, 8-28. And I have a cap with the 8-28. And I have a picture of those guys, so I'm on my wall back here. Pictures are special. I have a picture, John, that we have in my bedroom and the desk. I look at some of you guys the first thing every morning because I have a picture of Victory Sunday. We had a victory day. How many of you remember that 2 years ago? Mo got up on a big ladder out there, and we went out in front of the church and all took a picture. And I have a picture. Kurt Pierce and Wanda mounted that for me, Joel, and I have a picture of my church. And that's the one thing that I have in my bedroom and in our bedroom. Well, there's a beautiful picture in Genesis 45. There's a beautiful picture of Jesus in the Old Testament. There's a parallel. There's a picture of Jesus. And his name is Joseph. He's a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus in Genesis 45. There are a lot of the things that you could just put an overlay, just like one hand over another. And it's like Joseph and Jesus. First of all, he was a beloved son. His daddy, Jacob, loved him more than the other 11 brothers. And God said about Jesus, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." So Joseph and Jesus. And then he was the rejected servant. His brothers despised him, hated him, and Billy and put him in the pit, left him for dead. And we serve a Savior like that, don't we? He was despised and rejected. He suffered and bled and died in shame for me and you. That's Jesus. And then, not only that, but he was the seeking Savior. He was the seeking Savior who said, "Go down there and get my brothers. Go get your wives and your children." And the Bible says, he said, "Bring them down here to me." He was the seeking one, the searching one. And that Jesus did that. Jesus came for me and you. And he was on a search and rescue mission. Jesus was. But verse 24, I said, is the key verse. He said, but now, he said to his brothers that day, he said, "But as you're going, see that you fall not out by the way." That's the key verse, the thought for today. See that you fall not. He didn't want them to argue, John, on the way. He said, don't be fussing one another and fighting and arguing on the way about whose fault it was. Just get down there and get the job done. Just stay with it. Now I want to tell you something. The greatest need of the church, I think, is that we see, Dorothy, that people fall not out by the way. Don't become a spiritual casualty. And I've seen this for many years, Chipper. Through the years, I've seen a lot of people come to Christ. We've had over 500 additions to this church in the 3 years I've been pastor. God's been so good. We got three new members last week. Got three already this week. Hope we get some more. We got to keep, and I tell you, if, as many people as we've buried lately, we got to get some more, hadn't we, Craig? We got to fill these seats. And I tell the church staff, but here's the challenge, and that is to fall not out by the way. I see people come to Christ and they get excited, they get energized, they are faithful, dependable, but after a while, they become spiritual blowouts and spiritual dropouts. And Joseph said to his brothers, "See that ye fall not out by the way." I'm going to give you three reasons why we don't need to fall out by the way. Number one is because we have a brand new position. When they went down to Egypt, when those brothers went down there, they came from the land of promise, Robin. They were from Canaan. They didn't have anything. They're a bunch of bums, really. They were from a famine-ravaged land. They were nobodies. But you know, when Joseph told them who he was, he revealed himself to them, Skip, they found out they were brothers to the prince of Egypt. We were brothers. We were somebody. They were somebody. They had a brand new position. And I want to tell you today, if you're in Christ, You don't need to have an inferiority complex. It's a lot of rotten news in this world today. I don't know if you watch anybody. I don't care who you watch. You can watch Fox or CNN or read USA Today or whatever. It's pretty negative stuff, isn't it? But I'm going to tell you, we serve a risen Savior. And brother, we got good news. I got good news. And the church of the living God is about the only place you'll get the good news today, I believe. Amen? There's a lot of bad news in the world, man. We fixed to go over a fiscal cliff. And one guy said, we own the Titanic as a nation. We own the Titanic. Well, I don't know about all that, but we got good news. Good news. And that is, the child of God is we have a new position, a new standing. We're somebody. And if you just realize who you are in Christ, do you realize that? How important you are to Him, how much He loves you. You have a brand new position, and we ought to live like it. And one thing He said, now, boys, don't fall out, by the way. Don't get to arguing with one another. You stay together. And I want to tell you this to the church of the living God. As long, I believe, Mike, as long as a church stays together, they can do anything. Amen?
Amen.
You can do anything if you stay together. He said, don't be fussing and fighting. Now, I want to say this. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? You know why? Because we got some cantankerous people in this church. Did y'all know that? And I tell you, if you want to see one of them, go home and look in the mirror. Isn't that right? I like this little poem, Robbie, I heard it years ago. It goes like this. To dwell there above with those that we love, oh, that will be glory. But to dwell here below with these that we know, now that's another story. It's good, isn't it? Sometimes life can be hard, isn't it? But you know, but you need unity. And he won't know, brother, he said, don't fall out by the way. Don't be fussing and fighting. You don't be arguing. The greatest need, I think, of the church is unity. Unity in the body. And Psalm 133:1 says, how good and how precious it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It's a lot more fun to love than it is to fight, isn't it?
Amen.
And I tell you, not many things in life, I've lived long enough to know not many things are worth a fight. They're really not. And I've lived long enough to know this, that you don't have to let somebody else make you miserable. And you don't have to let somebody else control your emotions. And the Bible says in Psalm 133, how good and precious it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. And that's what he told them, Dorothy. He said, you have a new position. Number two, you have new possessions. New possession. He said, you don't need to take anything down there. You know what he told them, Chipper? He said, leave. Tell them to leave the stuff down there. They don't need their stuff. Me and Wayne talked about that this morning. We have prayer together on Sunday morning. Wayne Williams. And you know, I told Wayne, I said, you know what, Wayne? I really don't need any more stuff. How many of y'all think you need some more stuff? I just gave away, Max, about 80% of the stuff I owned. I told them to come to Ozark, load up. They load up two trucks from the Christian Mission. So a lot of my stuff is over there at the Christian Mission. You can go over and buy it at a good price, I hope. We don't need a lot of stuff. And I'm going to tell you, the people that live just for stuff, they're dealing in the junk business.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Junk business. If that's all it is, you know. But I want to say we have a new, what did I say first thing was?
Position.
New position. We're brothers to the crown prince. Number two, we have new possessions. He said, look, go down there and get them. I'm going to send the good of all of Egypt. You go down and get them. Tell those brothers, don't even pack up what they got down there. Don't even pack up the stuff. I've got plenty down in Egypt. They don't need to bring anything. Just come on. You ever been invited somewhere for dinner and they say, you don't have to bring anything? You ever been like it? Say, man, we got it. We got it all covered. You just come on down. And that's what Pharaoh said. Go down and get them. Tell them to pack up and come on down. Because we got a new position. Our father's rich. Our brother's rich. He's a rich man. And our God is rich beyond measure. I love that song. My father's rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands. Rubies and diamonds and silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. Sing the chorus with me. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. That's who you are. That's who you are. We had a seminary professor told me, she taught us missions. I didn't know Jasper MacPhail, but I looked him up on the internet. He's a poor farm boy from Mississippi, a little town called Slate Springs, Mississippi. And he grew up in a small Baptist church in a little town. God called him to the ministry, and God called him to the mission field. He graduated high school. He applied, Chuck, to Clark College, a little old two-year college over in Mississippi. He applied. He said, my name's Jasper MacPhail, and I'm from Slate Springs, Mississippi, but I'm a poor boy. I don't have any money, but God's called me to the ministry. Old Dr. Compeer, the president of Clark College, said, hey, we don't need more poor people around here. We got this school full of poor boys. We don't need that. Told him that, you know, not to come and apply, could apply somewhere else or something. But Jasper MacPhail said, God's called me to the ministry, and I'm going. If they had to get the campus police to arrest me, I'm going to Clark College. God told me to go, and I'm going. And he went, Dr. Joe, and he graduated after 2 years. They let him work his way through. They wouldn't turn him away. And so when he finished, he applied to Baylor University in Texas, and he wrote them. He wised up this time. He wrote them. He said, my name is Jasper MacPhail. I'm from Slate Springs, Mississippi. I'm a graduate of Clark Junior College, and I have a rich father. And by the grace of God, being Jasper MacPhail, went to Baylor University, and he went on to the medical school, and he went out to India and opened the door to medical missions in India because God called him. Now, I tell you, you can listen to me. If it's something you cooked up on your own, something you go off half-cocked, something you cooked up yourself, you may fail in it. But, brother, let me tell you, if God called you, if God leads, He will feed. If He guides, He will provide. If God orders it, He'll pay the bill for it. God will. He's rich. I heard another story about a little old lady lived out in the country, and she was starving, just skin and bone. And the welfare people went out to check on her. And she was starving. And they said, don't you have any family? She said, yeah, I have a son. And they said, do you ever hear from him? She said, well, yes, he writes sometimes. They said, well, do you tell him that you... She said, no, I won't tell him how bad I'm doing. I can't tell him that. And they said, well, do you think he has a job? She said, yeah, has a job. She said, well, does he ever send you anything? She said, well, no. He said, nothing but these postcards. And she had some beautiful postcards, had a picture on the front side, but on the back side, you know what it was? It was a money order. She had a dresser drawer full of money orders that her son had been sending through the years. And she starving in poverty, this poor ignorant woman living in poverty, and her son had provided. Let me tell you something. God provided for you like that. Yes. Amen? Yes. He didn't want me to... Listen, I don't have... One thing you say about me, I don't have an inferiority complex, do I? And it's not because I'm smart or good, anything like that. It's because I know where the power comes from. I know who has the power. Amen. It's Holy Spirit power. And it's unity. Paul talked... that the psalmist talked about. And it's all of the Holy Spirit, really. I'll make one last point. He told those brothers, he said, don't argue on the way. Don't fall out by the way because of what's the first thing? Because what? Remember what? New position. I want you to remember that this week. You got a new position if you're in Christ. Number two, second thing, what? New possessions. Our Father owns all of it, don't He? It all belonged to Him. He said, I'm His child. I've got possessions you don't know about. I'm talking about spiritual blessings. I'm not talking about this junk. I'm not talking about things. Because see, if that's all you got, you measure your wealth that way, you don't have too much. Because see, money can't buy peace of mind, can it? I know some people in this town probably give everything they got if they just get peace of mind, just get a good night's sleep. Yeah, listen, money won't take care of a guilty conscience. God, money won't restore a wasted life. Money won't do all that. Money won't buy the forgiveness of sins. Money won't do that. But I want to tell you, for the child of God, we have a new position. New position, Sub-Major. Number two, because of our possession. Don't fall out, by the way. Psalm 45, 24. Do not see that you fall not out, by the way. That's to every child of God in here. We selected 21 new deacons last Sunday night. I believe good men, godly men. But we ordain several of those new men. We'll tell them the challenge is to not fall out, by the way. Here's the last point. We need not fall out, by the way, because of our new position, our possessions. Number three is, don't fall out, by the way, because of our proclamation. You know what they proclaim? Verse 25 said, he's alive. They went home, told their daddy John, they said, he's alive. He's alive. That boy you thought was dead, the one you thought that they found the ray with the coat of many colors, and they dipped that coat in the blood and said, your son's gone. They went home and said, he's alive. It's a miraculous thing. He's alive. And brother, we can say the same thing. God conquered. We just sang it, didn't we? He can move the mountains. He conquered death in the grave. He did that. And brother, we got good news. It's good news. No matter what happens on Wall Street tomorrow, it's good news. No matter what happens in the business world tomorrow, it's good news. No matter what happens in Israel, as much as we worry about, as we pray about that, it's good news. And that is, Jesus is, we serve a risen Savior. Amen?
Amen.
That's the good news. I serve a risen Savior. I got a new position. I got new possessions. Number three, and we've got a new proclamation. He's alive.
Praise God.
Let me say this, now close. Read an alarming article. You can't read anything in the news today if it don't alarm you, can you? But I read one in our state paper. I hope all of you get our Alabama Baptist paper. If you don't get it, if you'll write to, just call Tracy, we'll make sure you get it. Call Ben. We'll get it from him. But I read one from Mississippi. I still get my paper from over in Mississippi. And I read where they had this Baptist preacher from England in Mississippi just a few weeks ago. And I read that article about how he said that, well, I'm going to read you what he said. I'm going to read it. I'll quote him. I won't rely on my memory for. But here's what he said about England today. He said, less than 2% of the population of England is evangelical Christian. 75% of the people believe in God. But which God? He said, the USA is about 20 years behind the United Kingdom. Do you hear what I said? One of the greatest preachers in England today, he said less than 2% of the population of England is evangelical Christian. 75% believe in a God, but which God? And then he said the USA is about 20 years behind them. At the present growth rate of growth, Birmingham, England will have a Muslim population in just a few years. Well, I'm going to close. I saw it's closed. Here it is, Thad. About two months ago, me and C were cutting grass on a Saturday afternoon on my little place in Ozark, Alabama. I had two riding mowers. She had a mower and I had a mower. And Doris was sitting under the tree watching us. And all of a sudden, I called Seals and I stopped the mower because I saw something crawling down the grass. Guess what it was? It's a baby cat, little baby cat. And I said, "See ya." And I called. I cut my mower off and called Celia over, and she came. And she loves cats, but she's allergic to cats. I told her to leave the cat alone. I didn't know, you know, cat might have rabies or something. By the way, doctor, can a cat have rabies? Yes, it can.
Yeah.
See there? See, the doctor said that. Wayne just said it. So, but anyway, I called her over, and she loved the cat. She said, we can't leave the cat. Out there in the middle of a little pasture. She said, the mama's nowhere. I said, the mama will find the cat. Or the cat will find the mama. She's around here somewhere in a hole or under a barn or somewhere. But it was a little lost cat in big, tall grass. See, you wouldn't leave the cat. And you guess where that cat spent the night? She spent the night at Mo and KB Sessions' house. We rescued the cat. And matter of fact, now I think the cat now was given as a gift to Sarah Christian and Brian. Isn't that right? Sarah Christian and Brian have the cat, their little girls. They named the cat. Guess what they named it? They named it Sonny is Right. They named it Sonny O. Sonny's cat from Ozark. Sonny O. Sonny O. Well, anyway, and we see him on the YouTube. We see him on the Facebook. You know, they make pictures and all. So we watch to see what Sonny's. We've seen that little cat grow up. Been special to him. But I got thinking about it. Here's my point. We rescued the cat. That little cat may have, I don't know. Because right out in the middle of the field by itself, out there by herself, I don't know that. Is it a boy cat, isn't it? It's a boy cat. A tomcat. But he was out there by his, he might not have made it. I don't think he'd have made another day or two, would he, Mo? He's a little thin cat. But we rescued a cat. You know, God's called us. A lot of people. I don't care how crowded the world, a lot of people out there, they probably won't make it spiritually, Mike, without me and you. And so you know what we own, Sergeant Major? We're really on a rescue mission. That's my job. We're on a search and rescue mission. That's what we are. It's the job of the church. And we have great good news. First point was a new position, new possessions. God has it all, brother. Got everything we need. And that's a marvelous picture of grace. He told them not to bring anything. They didn't have anything. He gave it to them. It's a marvelous picture of grace in Joseph. You love the study of Joseph, don't you? It's a marvelous picture of grace. And then the third point is our proclamation. Let's tell the news. Let's tell the news that God is alive. He's alive and well, and our God is a mighty God. Amen?